Well, praise the Lord for the song service. I've enjoyed it. I hope y'all have enjoyed singing. I always like to hear singing. It blesses my heart. I wish I could sing. I've never been able to sing. Never felt like I should sing. Felt like everybody didn't want to endear my noise, so I just try to keep mine in the car with the windows rolled up or whatever, at the house with the windows and doors closed. I hope you've come praying. God has laid a message on my heart. It's one I've never thought about, never considered, but the Lord has laid it on my heart. He's had it on my mind for a month or more, but I kept thinking, well, where is this going? What are you up to? Sometimes I kind of question what God's up to whenever He's given me something, put something on my heart, a message, a thought, and then I start reading and studying, and what He put in my heart was to go back and study Israel under the kings, how that they, when they walked with God, how God blessed them, and then they would turn, and it was it always seemed it was the leader that was the one that was turning them. Sometimes they had a godly king, and he would lead them in the way that the Lord wanted them to be going. And then after he passed away, sometimes he would have a son that would come up and he'd go the opposite. He'd be just see how evil he could be. And he would tear down all of the places of worship, destroy and go out and build up stations to worship other things. Different is amazing, the things that they would worship. And we today, we're just as guilty. We have our biggest God is pleasure. We don't want to admit it, but most everybody's mind is on pleasure. And I've been hearing a lot of people running into people, and I can't wait till we get back to normal. Get back to where they're on the news, they're talking about. Get back to where we can have our parties. We can go to the bars. We can go to all these places of amusement that we're missing out on. The ball games and everything. And it's sad that that we're so engrossed in things like that. It could be good, but if we let it come between us and God, then it's bad. It's not good. And tonight, as a thought, God laid on my heart is wake up, America. Wake up. And truly, I think we can stop and think for just a moment and see. If you've been around any length of time, you've got any years on you, you've seen a lot of things come and go. We've seen some good times, some good spiritual times, but those have vanished. And why have they vanished? It's not God's fault. He's still on the throne. He's still in the blessing business. He's still in the saving business. But the problem is us. And the thing that thought that start off with is a funeral service for a nation. Think about Israel and what Israel went through, and the one particular incident that the Lord laid on my heart to think about tonight is Nebuchadnezzar, whenever he surrounded Israel. The people, they were afraid. They had lived up until that time. They had lived, and God always came in and took care of their battles. They had battles, and they, whenever the enemy rose up, many times a multitude, and they were a small number, their military people, the people that were going to fight. They were small in number, but God always provided. And God put on my heart and reminded me of World War II. I was just small in World War II, but I remember the hearing, the communication, what was going on. And when you think back about it, whenever, as I've studied history and went back, we shouldn't have been able to fight two wars, one on the east, one on the west. We were fighting the Germans, we were fighting the Japanese. And either one of those countries, had it not been for God's protecting hand, could have overrun this country. I know I had an uncle that was in the know, and he said that German subs were even coming up the Mississippi River. They were seen. Of course, it wasn't on the news. I never remembered hearing anything about it, but he said they were. The submarines would come up. In 1957, I was in Chicago and went to a museum there, and I saw a German sub that was captured on the East Coast. I can't remember what state it was close to on our East Coast up in the Northeast. It had surfaced. They were snooping, looking the situation over, evidently thinking maybe of attacking or whatever. But whenever our military saw them and realized that it was a German sub, and they flew airplanes over, well, they tried to go down. They tried to take their sub down. But something happened with it, and they couldn't get it to go down. It wouldn't go down in the water. They couldn't get it to submerge, so it started circling. And they had a film of it there at the museum, and there it was on top of the water, and it was circling, and the planes was flying around. They've taken pictures of it and everything. But they decided, our military decided to capture it. And instead of submerging it, blowing it up. So finally the Germans realized they had no hope. They already told them, said, you either surrender or we're going to sink you. So they decided to surrender. But I actually got to go into that little submarine there in that museum there in Chicago. But that was a case there that we had enemy right on that, on the East Coast. And whenever the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, history and the military people said later they could have bombed California because we had no protection there. But God. We had God on our side, And that's why we were able to fight. Had military people in the islands fighting the Japanese. We had people over going from England, coming out of Africa, military people fighting their way into Germany. And God blessed our nation that we didn't get overrun. And we also know that God had blessed in World War I whenever they were going over to help fight there again over in that area. But God has blessed us as a nation in the past. We have to stop and thank Him. We ought to stop and thank Him for the past. But as Israel, we have done just like Israel. God blessed, and they forgot what God did. And that's exactly what we in America, we have done the same thing. God is blessed, and then we have now decided we don't need God. We don't need God in our government. We don't want the name mentioned. We've got so many people that are our representatives in Congress and the Senate and House of Representatives, they're standing up against God. And so as they are standing up in their wickedness saying, we don't want God, we don't want the name mentioned, we don't want prayer, we're not going to have prayer in our chambers before we meet. And our nation was founded on the Bible. Founded on the Bible. And I tell you right now, right here is the answer for every problem America has right now. We've got the manual. We've got it. We've got the answers for all of the problems. If we could get them to listen. If we could just get them to let us show them that we've got the answer. God has the answer for every problem that America's in right now. And if we don't repent, I'm afraid we're going to be like Israel was. Israel went down that long road marching into a land that they didn't want to go, just because they had turned their back on God. And I'm sure that as they were going along, see, the thing that we, and I had never thought about it, but God put it on my heart. He only had four mention of born again, what we would call born again Christians, people that were serving God. Had Daniel and the three other young men. They were all in their teens from what we can gather from the Bible. They were young men. But the other people that were serving God, they had to go too. They only left a few people there that King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, leave those. And if you study, you can see where he was leaving, like in my class, the elderly, the people that weren't going to be helpful, because he wanted slaves to build up his country, and he flat used them to as slaves. But as those people were going down that long, lonesome road, I can just imagine them saying, what is wrong? Why is God letting this happen to us? Not thinking, you know, maybe not thinking, well, we turned our back on God. That's the reason why he's not hearing and answering our prayers. And God has, in my study and all of the reading that I have read about Israel, God has pointed out to me that we're in the same position. The enemy, as much as we don't like to think about it, is standing at the door of our nation waiting to take it over. And I tell you, if you've ever been in a hospital, done much hospital business, it's a sad time when you're walking down the hall and you start by a room and you see people standing in the hall and people in the room. And if you ask one in the hall, maybe if they need prayer, and they'll tell you, well, it's a friend or it's a loved one. We're just waiting for them to go. Doctors already said it's just minutes or hours and they're going to be gone. But right now, we as a nation, we're in that same position. We're right at the point of a funeral for our nation. And that's hard to imagine, hard to accept, but we, as a nation, we've got people that's already, many of them, already in our political system. And I don't mean to be on politics. I'm not pushing politics either way. All I'm saying is we've got so much sin up there that's supposed to be representing us. They're selling us out. They've already been to school. They've spent their school years studying communism. It's been taught in the colleges. I've talked to young people for years. And it's even down into the high schools in our school system. And I got a message the other day that it was what Washington in the school system has come up with now. They've come up with a starting out a manual for the kindergarten, teaching them about sex and teaching them that they do not have to listen to their parents. The parent can't tell you that you're a boy or you're a girl. You can be whatever you want to be. And it's coming out. It's supposed to be coming out in this fall school system. It's coming down national. But what the thing that I have noticed now, kids don't come home with books. Not many books like we had when I was going to school. You had an English, you had a history, you had a geography, you had a chemistry or whatever. You had these books. But now the teacher has the literature. They get it. And they print it out and pass it to the kids at school so the parents never see. And they say that's the way they can keep it hid and the parents don't get upset and start storming the schools and everything trying to stop them. But anyway, getting back to a Wake Up America, over in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, and the 12th verse says, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted and utterly destroyed." And we as America, we're no exception. Whether we want to accept it or not, I dread to see it happen. I never dreamed I'd live long enough to get to this point, but I I've heard it preached back in the early 60s and the late 50s. Preachers saying what was going to happen in the future said we'll be gone, but we'll never see it. But I have lived to see what they said, and it's happened just like God had wrote it down and give it to them. But anyway, he gave them the message back then to warn what was going to happen if we didn't start turning back to God. But we have went further and further down the road. It's sad, but as we see the what happened to Israel, the nations mocked them because they didn't have any power. The nations are mocking America now, have been for a number of years. The nations that the people, countries that we supported, we was the big brother financially. We could step in and help them. What are they doing now? They're laughing at us. They know we don't have any power. The major countries right now, China, Russia, they're not afraid of us. We don't have God on our side. That was the thing that kept them over the years. It kept them from attacking. Whenever our president tell Russia back off, they would back off, which they could have attacked it years back. But now we don't have God on our side, and they realize it. They realize that we don't have God, just like a previous president said, this is not a Christian nation. And how true that is, as sad as I have to admit it. We don't have the Christian majority like we one time did. We're a very small minority. And every few days, if you listen, you hear a governor, a city mayor. Heard one the other day of a big city here in America talking about the churches. She said, I can't wait to close the churches down permanently. Now, whenever it starts, we can very quickly lose our governor's already showed us that he can stop us. He used this virus situation, but he overstepped his bounds, and he didn't really have the legal right to tell us to stop, but he did. And he set a precedent to where the next person it takes over, whatever reason they decide, they can stop us again. And it's sad. When we get to thinking about it, I don't mean to be coming with such a sad story, but God is saying, wake up. Wake up. Because we're at that point to where we're getting beyond return. Like going down a river in a raft. You're getting close to the falls, and you don't have a paddle, so you know you're going over, and that's just about what we're headed for. But we, as a nation, I hope and pray that people will wake up and realize and try it. The main thing that we as Christians need to do is try to get our children, our grandchildren, our relatives, whomever we can come in contact with, help them find the way to the cross. Help them get saved, get ready to leave this world, because if not, it's not going to be a holiday to stay in this world. I have some more scripture. I had to jot them down because I have problems keeping up with them. When a nation becomes blind, as we have done, blinding ourselves from God's word, not reading the word. And the sad part about it is we as Christians haven't, no doubt, been reading and studying like we should. Now God has let all of the storms and everything that's happened as a warning. I don't know of another nation in the world that's had as many floods, had as many tornadoes, hurricanes, just we in America. And what does our people say on the news? They talk about Mother Nature just sure giving us a bad time. They know Mother Nature. I don't have no Mother Nature. I have a Heavenly Father that's in charge, and He knows all about what's going on. And I feel like He's warning me to make sure that I'm looking up and getting right and getting everybody else that I can to Him, because He's soon coming. And we don't know, we have no guarantee that we won't be overcome and in a situation with a rule from another country. We could be under their rule before Christ ever comes. Because who are we to say that God would be wrong to do that? He warned Israel. And I see Him warning us every day with this virus. That didn't just happen. He's in control of it. He could stop it tomorrow, stop it tonight if He wanted to. But He's given us a chance to just stop and sit down at home and get acquainted with our family. Had to give us time to take everything else off our mind and to just take His word and read and study it. But are we doing it? Or are we just still trying to go on and wishing, well, I wish this would clear up so I could get back out doing this and that? But He's given us an opportunity to prepare ourselves and get others prepared. The Bible has many examples. And it used Israel. He used Israel a lot as an example what He can do and what He would do. And He's done it to other countries. Other countries, Russia, from my study of history, Russia was a Christian nation at one time. But they let an infidel tell them that they were wrong, and they listened. That was Germany's problem. That's why Germany wound up in war, because they let Hitler come in, and he said it was the Jews and the Christians, and he killed both. You don't hear much said about the Christians, but I had an aunt that came from that area. The Christians they paid with their life too, because he didn't like Christians. Nobody, the devil puts it in the heart of his leaders to do away with the Christianity, do away with the Christians. And that's exactly what we see today on every hand, is leaders speaking up. Like Brother Gunn spoke this morning about taking images off of church. And then they've said for quite a few years, some of them, those people, I've heard them make the statement, before I die, I want to see every cross off of every church. I want every steeple taken off of every church. I want every church door closed. And that's what they've been working toward, what the devil has been putting in people's minds. And so as we travel this road, let's get our minds on the Lord. Over in Psalms, the 9th chapter, 17th verse said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Do we not fall into that category? Our leaders have said no more God. We don't want God mentioned. Right now, it's illegal most anywhere to walk out with a Bible and start trying to witness to somebody on the street. It's already in some of the towns right now, you can be taken to jail for it. Who ever thought that they'd live to see that? I never thought I'd ever live to see that. I remember when you see people preaching in the parks or standing on the street corner with a Bible preaching. I've not seen that in years. But now, people that try it, they haul them away. Say, "We're not. You can't do it." Over in Isaiah 59, I want to read a couple of verses. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear." I think that's our big problem now. A lot of our prayers is not heard, and I hear people say, "Well, I just can't get a prayer through." Well, if I found out if David can't get a prayer through, something's wrong. It's on this end of the line, not up. It's not the Heavenly Father. It's David. David has got something. He's done something. He needs to repent. I've found that I've had things that maybe I had a little anger towards somebody or something, and I just kind of swept it under the rug of my mind, pushed it back, you know. I'm not going to apologize to him. I'm just going to go on. No. God says no. God says to repent, make things right. And if we don't, the word plainly tells. He was telling Israel, and it's just the same today as it was for them. If we want God to hear and answer our prayer, we've got to get right ourselves, and then we can talk to him. He'll hear and answer prayer. I know for a fact that he's still hearing and he's still answering. I've had him answer prayers that I won't go into, but I know he's still answering prayer. And he's still in the saving business. But most of the time, our problem, we're so powerless. We can't even witness to a lost person. They don't feel that power of God on our speech. And I know back when I wasn't living right, there's people that I didn't really know, but if they got close and started talking, I wanted to get just as far away from them as I could, because I knew that person knows God, and they're going to start talking to me, and I got to get out of here, you know. That is a big hindrance to us. We've lost that power, so we're not able to witness like we should be. We're going to have to get back out to the old praying grounds like the old timers did. I remember the old timers going to the woods and praying. As long as it's weather fit, they went to the woods and prayed. And even through the week, they would go out behind their barn or in their barn or up on the side of the mountain and pray. I've not heard anybody like that years. I know back when I first moved up on Hooper's Creek, you could get out, and every once in a while you'd hear somebody squalling out in the woods somewhere. They done made contact with God, and God's blessing them, and they was rejoicing. And when they got in church, it was on. They had more revival out in the woods of praying than we do in church. And that's sad. You know, they have their get their heart right, and they get together, and it was on. And I always enjoyed being around them, because whenever they were praying, you knew you could tell they was getting prayers answered. Over in 1 Peter 5:8, we see a verse that wake up, as I said, wake up, America. And I hope tonight, I hope I haven't rambled around and gotten away from, but America, we in America need to wake up. It's either now or it's never going to be. And over in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober. And what's that, sober? Be responsible. Be vigilant. And that word means alert. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And devour means consume. And surely he is doing it. He's walking around. We can see it in our communities. We can see it in our towns. We can see it everywhere you want to go. In grocery stores or wherever. It's sad when you see people in the condition that they're in. Living in sin. And some of them probably don't know any different, especially the younger people that have grown up with parents that weren't Christian. So they don't know anything about Christianity. And I've talked to, and I'm sure that many of you have done the same. You start trying to talk to a young person. They don't know what you're talking. They have no idea. They have no idea why you go to church. I've even had them say, why do you want to go and be with a bunch of people on Sunday? I like to be out playing golf. I like to go fishing. I don't see any. To me, that wouldn't be no enjoyment, because they didn't know anything about church, didn't know what I was talking about. And then I had to try to explain that the spiritual man needs help. And even then they don't understand, you know, because they've never been taught the Bible, don't know anything about the Bible. But we know that God'll only listen to us if we repent. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, 4th and 5th verses. But your brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us wake. But let us watch and be sober. And that verse I'll leave with you tonight. Truly, we need to wake up. And we need to get out of our sleep mode of just rocking along. Everything's going okay at my house today, so I'm not going to be concerned about you or anybody else. And we do that. It's easy to get into that mode. You don't have any concern about your neighbor or somebody that's sick. It's easy to not have that closeness like we once had, but we need to wake up and get where God can use us, where we can get as many people saved as we can, because I feel sorry for the thousands of people that's around us that are lost, on the road to hell, and don't know it. Don't know that they're going to be in eternal punishment because they've never had the opportunity that I've had. And maybe y'all here tonight, you grew up in church. You grew up around godly people. You learn what knowing God was all about as a child, where people today don't have that opportunity. Wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. That's the word, wake up. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the burden that you put on my heart. I ask you to help me to do more, be more like you than I ever have been in the past. Pray that you'd help each one of us here tonight to be that which we ought to be for your glory. That we'd be living surrendered lives, that we could warn lost people. That we would be ready for your coming and have others to bring with us. Ask you to go with us as we leave this place. Help us to be mindful every day and every moment that you're coming. But we don't know when, but we know that we're see another day, we're going to have to face what's out there for us, and we need to be right with you so we can face what's coming to us. Thank you and praise you for what you have done for us in the past and what you will do for us in the future if we'll just submit to you. Amen. Anyone have a word? Anything? No one has anything to say. Well, you're dismissed, and I hope you'll go praying. And if we get together again, that you'll come back praying, that God will be able to do a work in our midst. We as individuals need a revival. We're the ones that's got to be revived. We got to get ourselves. We get revived, then God can send revival on more if we get ready.